This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending the 21st of September 2018. Well, this week I want to start off with a wealth tip. And the tip is the surest way to build wealth over a lifetime is to spend far less than you make and intelligently invest the difference. But too many people hurt their financial health by failing to recognize the difference between their wants and their needs. So quick note that I will be starting an energy letter probably in November of this year. I will be launching it in London. And so moving from there, energy is the most important commodity on the planet. Without energy, nothing happens. Everyone thinks that the world runs on money, finance, moving currencies, and that type of thing. Certainly, it's very important. But again, without energy, nothing happens. So for the wrap-up this week, the United States Oil Fund is testing the summer highs. The energy spider is testing the August highs. And the energy leaders, as of last week, are ConocoPhillips, Hess, and Marathon Oil. ExxonMobil is also at an eight-month high. This is important because oil affects everything. It affects mining, it affects transportation, it affects cost of goods, and everything that's involved with consumerism or basically life itself does depend on energy. Before I get into the first article here, I'd like to let everyone know that if you are not on the free Morgan Report, which is available at themorganreport.com, just simply give us a name and an email. We will be making an offer. We make offers to that free list from time to time. And some are ignored and some are wanted, some aren't. I can't determine that. You can. But there will be an offer for silver coins at spot, which means the offering from this dealer will be at a loss to them. But they are making this offer to our list. It will be done next week and the week after. We'll break it out in segments. And it's not a one coin offer. It will be probably 5 or 10. And most likely it will be a Canadian maple leaf. Well, we're working the details out as I am doing this this update. Now, moving on to the first article. This is from CNBC. There's a global currency crisis unfolding that's sure to catch up to the United States. A review of the values of 143 global currencies indicate that so far this year, more than 80% have fallen in value. Persistent rate increases in the United States may be having a very negative impact on the global economy. When well over 100 nations see the value of their currencies drop, it is highly unlikely that the United States can pursue its economic goals unaffected. If the currency of a nation declines meaningfully over a sustained period, it creates significant problems for that nation's economy. Now, I want to pause there because this is basically from CNBC and it's a U.S. dollar-centric view, which means that these currencies are moving up and back against each other. We all know, or most of us on this update know what the dollar index is. But when we realize that the United States dollar is roughly worth 3 cents from where it started in 1913, roughly 100 years ago, all these currencies are failing, and a lot of them are failing against the U.S. dollar, but the dollar has, in all essence, failed. However, at this exact point in time, unless you know monetary history, you might actually assume that everything's wonderful and the dollar's great and it's stronger than most currencies and on and on. But the reality is that no currency has ever tested time immemorial, meaning that all currencies fail, and a dollar at some point will fail even further than it has up until this point in time. And that's why it's really imperative that you have a position in a hedge. And basically, when a currency fails, it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's trust. When trust is given up, confidence is given up, then people seek something that they have absolute confidence in. And for the most part, that means gold. And to a lesser degree, especially in today's world, that means silver. These are things that cannot fail because they are in and of themselves valuable and have been that way for a very long time. Thousands of years is the case. Continuing with this article, if you were in some of these countries that are having a currency crisis right now, you would be very, very grateful if you had any precious metals. Venezuela's off 99%, Argentina 53%, Turkey off 38%, Brazil off 20%. And again, people argue you can't eat gold. Well, if you had gold or silver in these countries, you'd be, again, grateful because you would be able to purchase food with them. Will that hold the case forever? We don't know, but we certainly know it does hold the case right now. And that's vitally important that these people that did plan ahead financially are very much able to adapt to these very rapidly changing circumstances in these given countries. And to think that the United States is exempt is something I would ask you to rethink. Take a quick look at the dollar, and this is the dollar index, of course. It's doing wonderful relative to what? These other failing currencies. It's gone up from the April timeframe, roughly at the 90 level, up to 94 currently. And that is, again, one currency trading against another. But in the long term, what does it really mean? Think about it. And the article ends with John Doane writes many decades ago that no man is an island. And indeed, in a global economy, no nation is either. We are all interconnected. And then what's so interesting to me is that they end this with a video on how to start your very own cryptocurrency. Certainly, I am for competing currencies. I am for truth in the financial system. I am for not only the precious metals, but any alternative that makes sense. From my personal perspective, what monetary history teaches is that you have to have an asset-backed currency if it's really going to go the distance, if it's going to last the test of time. I'm going to just devote the rest of this to silver. It seems to both gold is floundering and it's weak in U.S. dollar terms, certainly not in those countries I just outlined in the previous article. But in terms in U.S., it is. And silver, of course, is languishing as well. I wanted to go to this article by Cerie Jobert, cornering the silver market ahead of major monetary reform. The frogs are now boiled. Stephen Leeb's book, Red Alert, published in 2012, argues the Chinese understand the issue of a resource scarcity much better than the West, and as a result of their accumulation of vital resources, may leave the West in a nearly untenable position within the next decade. Leeb was on King World News, and he spoke that the Chinese, who have just 3% of gold reserves at gold mines with very low grades, are exploiting unprofitable mines. The reason given by the Chinese well-connected alter ego was China needs gold to back its currency. Now, this is hearsay. I want to be clear, but Michael Rupert was one of the first to talk about a gold-backed yuan. I picked up on Mike's work, gave him credit for it, and announced that there is a possibility in the future that this could happen. Not would, but could. Nearly each argument for gold in that interview could be applied for silver. Analysts think, like Chinese, and silver has been the only monetary situation in China for centuries. Now, the world was basically on a silver standard for a very long time. And if you go back into the Silver Investor, my old website, you'll find that there are many articles, mostly written by Charles Savoy, that talk about the open wars and how silver interplayed into that and why the British basically hate the silver market and what they did about it. If you look at the Wizard of Oz, that is a huge metaphor, and the Yellow Brick Road is the Eastern banking establishment wanting to go to a gold-only standard for more control than the more free market openness of the West that was using silver. Basically, the crime of 1873 was all about taking silver out of the monetary system so that the establishment or the banking establishment could have further control over the monetary affairs of the corporate U.S. What we find here is that the ETFs that hold silver really haven't increased much over the last several years. Basically, there's a big run up to 2011, which is where silver peaked. You can see that slant of that curve. It's almost parabolic and really goes very much along the lines of what happened to the silver price during that same time frame, 2009, basically the bottom of the financial crisis. And a lot of these entities were buying physical silver. Why? Because this is what you can trust. And so I'm not going to name them all, but you see some of the bigger players, Zurich Continental Bank. I've actually met with them face to face, believe it or not. Julius Bear Sprott, Deutsche Bank, which is a very small, don't get excited that that's going to save Deutsche Bank. Japan, UBS, and others. So this is the stockpile held by the ETFs. And you can see it's around not quite 600 million ounces. Now, here's where Stephen Leeb and Mr. Jobert and I disagree. I'm not saying I'm right and they're wrong, though. I'm open-minded. But this exchange for physical, I'm still looking at it. I really don't believe it's much more than a paper chase. I don't think it has the lawful weight to actually demand these amounts of physical ounces. In other words, I think it's just these main banks swapping paper back and forth with each other and coming up with another paper scheme or paper paradigm, as I like to refer to it, to trade more silver. So I'm not going to go into this much longer, but I want you to know that the silver price is under the cost of production for some major producers, and that it is a buying opportunity. I also want to let everyone know I'll be on Greg Hunter next week on the USA Watchdog show. We'll be talking about silver as it is now, where it will be going, and some of the upcoming uses for silver on the industrial side. And that will close out this week for the Weekly Perspective with David Morgan. I'll be back with you next week.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.